one of the most blessed things you'll ever hear is to hear someone say, "I have been praying for you." Hello and welcome to Tony Broom Ministries. Here is a Bible teaching session from scriptures in Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. The title is Paul's Prayer for the Churches. I don't know how you feel about opening package when you come home from shopping. You already know what you've gotten because you picked it out of the store. Sometimes you just can't wait to get home and get in that package. And sometimes when you get a gift at Christmas time, especially if you're a child, it doesn't take much to really make them so happy. So we're looking today at something I feel like is a big box of chocolate candy or something you'd really like to eat or drink, something you'd really like to wear or put on and look at. Package. There's a lot of goodies in there. We don't have to hype things up, especially when you've been knowing each other as long as we have. You don't have to hype things up and make it sound good, look good. But this lesson today, we're going to look, Lord willing, at three prayers that are full, absolutely packed, rich. You get in on some Aunt Irish's chocolate pie, and you'll say, "Man, that's so rich. I'd like to eat two pieces of it, but it's so rich, can't have but one." And that's the way this is today. This is absolutely rich. So if you've never been rich in your life, you can leave church today saying, "I'm rich." Because you've been able to look at one of the greatest passages. Three prayers, one in Ephesians, one in Colossians, one in Philippians. Paul's prayer for the churches. Christians should pray for one another. As believers, to know more about God, our knowledge of God would be increased, to show love and live exemplary lives, lives that would be examples to others. Colossians 1:9, "This cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." The knowledge of His will, to be filled with the knowledge of His will. If you're filled with knowledge in earthly things, it goes to your head. But if you're filled with the knowledge of God, it goes to your heart. To be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and understanding. Since the day that we heard of your love in Christ, how you got saved and how you have come to the Lord, we do not cease to pray for you. Paul's prayer for the churches. When you read this in the Bible, and I know you've read it probably a number of times, when we read the scriptures in the Bible, in the New Testament, and these prayers are given to the churches, it's easy for us to say, "Well, yeah, he prayed for them. That was a good prayer that he prayed for the Ephesians or for the Colossians." But you have it in your Bible. If you read that prayer in your Bible, you can say, "This is for me." And that's a little phrase that we ought to tell ourselves today. When we read these prayers, we should not just say, "That's for them." We should say, "This is for me. He's talking to me. God wants this for me. Paul prayed this for me." Now, Paul didn't know our names, but Jesus prays this for every one of us. Praying to know God in a greater way in His fullness. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." This, Paul says, makes me and causes me to bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here's someone who would bow on their knees and pray for us. I thank God for those in our church who prays for me and who prays for our pastors, who prays for our church and who prays for our leaders. And I thank the Lord and those in my family who have prayed for me. I thank the Lord for those that I don't even know who have prayed for me. I thank the Lord for Jesus. He prays for me all the time. This cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. If you are a believer, whether you've gone on to heaven or you're still here on earth, it's because of the name of Jesus. That's why you're part of the family of God. That He would grant you according to the riches of His glory. And there's a lot of riches in that glory, brothers and sisters. And when God answers a prayer and He grants you that which has been prayed for you, it comes out of the riches, resources, the storehouse of His glory. There's a whole lot of things laid up there in store for us. And when we need something, God has already provided it. The apostle said that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory. And there are some six things in this prayer alone that is prayed for the believers there and that are prayed for us too. To be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Wow, that's a blowout right there to start with. To be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner person, the Holy Spirit. This is what I want God to do for you. I want Him to strengthen you according to the power of God, the Spirit that's in the inner person. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. This is a request. This is what I want God to do for you. You are saved. You know the Lord. You love the Lord. And I want you to know that Christ is dwelling in your heart by faith. He dwells in our hearts by faith. We've never seen Him. We've never hugged His neck or shaken His hand. But we know that He lives in our heart. And we know that by faith. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That ye being rooted and grounded in love. When you get rooted and grounded in love, nobody can pry you loose.
Amen.
Because His love will keep you. It's like that tree. This is a little old tree. I believe I can take it down. So you get on it and you push back and forth. But that tree is rooted down there and it won't come up. You have to get something and cut it down. Then you have to get something and cut up the roots. It's a big job to do it because it's rooted and grounded way down in there. And that's the way it is in love. That you would be rooted and grounded in love. These are things that we can pray. When we pray for each other, I admit that I don't know how to pray sometimes, like I should. And I'll say, Lord, help him, or Lord, help her, or thank you for them, meet their needs. But we could read these prayers that are in the Bible that are prayed for those believers and prayed for us, and it will help us to pray for each other. What a wonderful thing that we would pray this for each other. Lord, I pray You'd bless them. I pray that You would let them know that Christ is dwelling in their hearts by faith. Let them know that they're rooted and grounded in love and have the fullness of God. May be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. You say, well, what's all that? Well, it's dimensions. It's not really that you would know the meticulous thing about how high and how deep and all that, but what he's saying is, this relationship that we have with God, it's more than just saying, I'm a church member, I go to church. It's more than just saying, well, yeah, I'm a Christian. It's a great thing to be a Christian, but the broadness of our relationship, that you may know the length, the depth, the height. It's like the Kingsman said, so high you can't get over it, so low you can't get under it. So big you can't get around it. You must come in at the door. And that's the way it is with us. This relationship that we have with God is so broad you can't measure it. So high you can't attain to it. So low. It's just a wonderful thing. It fills heaven and earth. The God that we serve fills heaven and earth. He doesn't occupy a little old place on the shelf. It's not just some idol that you set up somewhere. We worship the God of gods. We worship God Almighty. The one who fills heaven and earth. That's the one we're talking about. That you might know with all saints. And when you know this, he says, it's something that all believers should know about this relationship that we have. We're born again. We are changed from darkness to light. We're changed from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And we have been translated. We have been put into the family of God that you might know these things and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. That's something to pray, that we would know more about His love. More about Jesus would I know. More of His grace to others show. More of His saving fullness see. More of His love who died for me. More about Jesus. That we would know more about His love. That love that passes knowledge. To know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. You think about that phrase for a little bit. To know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. Well, how can you know it if it passes knowledge? That is, you can know it, but you'll never know all of it. Because the more you know, the more there is to know. You can know the love of Christ, but it surpasses knowledge. And while the ages roll, I'll keep on praising Him, and I'll keep on knowing more and more about Him. Just when you think you might have known about all of it, here's a whole lot more that's to be revealed. That ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. We were filled with the fullness of God. And you might say, well, I've got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Well, that's good, but what about since then? Have we allowed the kettle to cool off? You set a kettle on the stove and it gets real hot. But if you don't keep it there, heat under it, what's going to happen? It's going to cool off. Even though we might have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, we still need to be filled over and over again. We need to turn the heat on every once in a while. Let God turn the heat on. Amen. You might be filled with all the fullness of God. If we were filled with the fullness of God like God wants us to be, we would be happy believers. We wouldn't have time to get sour puss and down in the mouth, up the mully grub tree and all that kind of stuff. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. He said, I'm praying about all this stuff, but God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. That is the according part. That's the condition part. How will we be blessed? How much can we be blessed? Well, it's according to the power who works in us. If we allow that power to work in us, we can be blessed beyond measure. But if we don't allow Him to move and operate in us, we're hindered, we're hampered in our experience with God. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. What a wonderful prayer to know more about God's fullness. To abound in love. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. He said, a new commandment I give to you. I want all men to know that you're my disciples if you have love one to another. And in Philippians, we have this prayer about abounding in love. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Boy, that's something to say. Sometimes when I remember some people, I say, oh God. But Paul said, no, when I remember you, it makes me smile. Makes me laugh and makes me praise God. I used to want to talk in tongues and prophesy. When I remember you, I thank God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all. Paul was a Southerner, y'all. Every remembrance and prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy. It brings joy to my heart when I think about the believers. And I hope that I have such a savor, such a flavor, such a demeanor, a presentation to others when they think of me. They won't say, oh boy, you better watch him. No, I want them to be able to be comfortable when they think of me, that it would cause them to rejoice for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I am confident that the one who has started this good work in us, how did he start it? With salvation. We're born again. That's not the completion, that's just the beginning. And this born again experience should happen all of our Christian life. The one who has started that good work in you will keep on performing it until the day of Jesus Christ. even as it is meet or necessary for me to think this of you all, y'all, because I have you in my heart, insomuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. Every time, no matter what I go through, whether it's bonds, whether it's to stand up and defend the gospel, when I think of you, it calls me to keep on keeping on. It causes me to be encouraged. When you hear a word of encouragement, that's what I needed today, Pastor. Keep on preaching the word. Keep on standing up for the old time religion. Keep on keeping on. They don't have to tell me that to cause me to keep on keeping on, because I'm determined to do that with the Lord anyway, but it helps to encourage each other. You're in my bonds, you're in my heart. The confirmation of the gospel, whether it's in bonds or whether it's in preaching, y'all are my partakers of my grace. We're all in this thing together. It's not like the thing says on TV, we're all in this thing together. I said, no, we're not. Because you're pulling for the devil and I'm trying to pull for God. You're going to the left and I'm going to the right. And everybody can't be right. And I don't claim to be right, but I stand for what's right. Because if you are on the right, you're not on the left. And if you're right, you can't be left. If you're right, you're not going to get left.
Amen.
And if you left and insist on being on the left, you're probably going to get left. But he's talking about this gospel. You're my partakers with me in this grace. We're all partakers in the grace of God. And it's so wonderful to be a partaker of the grace of God, to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Even when you feel bad in your body, it makes you feel better all over more than anywhere else. God is my record. This is my record. God is bearing witness to what I'm saying, he said, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. This I pray, that the love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. Now judge not that you be not judged, but we have to make judgments in life every day that we live. Do I turn to the left while the light is red, or do I wait? That's a judgment you better make. We're not supposed to judge each other, but that's a judgment you better make. Whether stop or to go, when the light is red or green, you got to make that judgment. And he said, I want you to abound in love more and more, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent. Don't go for this flibbly-dibbly stuff. Approve things that are excellent. And that's why in the church and the individual believers, we have to approve things that are excellent, to stand for the Lord and live for the Lord and love Him, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. When Jesus comes, I don't want you to be caught behind the curtain doing something you ought not do. I want you to be without offense. Be sincere till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. And so he prays that our love may abound yet even more and more, and to live worthy of the Lord. Now, none of us are worthy to live for the Lord. We're not worthy of the Lord. Even though we're not worthy of the Lord, now that we're in the Lord's family, we can live worthy of the Lord. We can live like, when people look at us, who are you representing? I'm a child of the King. We're to live like that. To live like it's just more than just a hat religion where you put on your head and take it off, Sunday morning thing. No, it's a whole lot worth more than that. To live worthy of the Lord. Colossians 1:9. This cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. To be filled with the knowledge of His will. We don't know everything about the will of God, But we can have the knowledge of His will. We know that it's God's will that we be saved, that we be sanctified, that we be Spirit-filled, that we be blessed, that we be healed. God's got good things in store for us. It's God's will that when we die and we pass from this life and Jesus doesn't come before then, that we'll go to heaven. That's God's will. We know that. And He said, I want you to be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and understanding. Wisdom, spiritual understanding, not just understanding in the world, but spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord and to all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, doing good works, not bad works. Paul tells Titus, put them in mind to be mindful to continue to do good works, not to be saved, but good works because you are saved. Strengthened with all might according to His glorious power. There it is again, to be strengthened with might according to His power in the inner man. And here now it says, to be strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Even though we have to have patience, even though we are going long-suffering, we have to forbear things in this life, we can do it with joyfulness. Why? Because we know we're on the winning side. We can do it with joyfulness. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet, or He qualifies us. He makes us worthy. We're not worthy in ourselves, but He makes us worthy to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. This radical transformation that God performed on every soul who has been born again. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. We used to be serving Satan. We used to be in the kingdom of darkness. But He has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. We've had a transformation. We've had a translation. We hadn't been raptured from this earth yet. But spiritually, we're already translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. I don't belong to Satan anymore. I don't belong to that sinful life anymore. I don't belong to that evil, sinful past anymore. I've been translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. His blood has washed all our sins away. And we have been forgiven. And we are forgiven. And His blood makes the vilest sinner clean. The blood of Jesus Christ. Song we've been singing lately. Still takes the blood for a soul to be saved. Thank God for the blood. The blood will wash you from all your sin. The blood will wash you without and within. The blood will even take away the stain of sin and all guilt. You don't have to live in guilt. You don't have to be bound by guilt and shame. That shame is gone. Why bear shame anymore? If you know your sins are forgiven, you know that you're walking in newness of life, you don't have anything to be ashamed about. If we're still doing things that causes us to be ashamed, we need to do like sanctified Gomer says, shame, shame, shame. We don't need to do that anymore. Don't do it if it's caused you shame. If it's shaming you and others, don't do it anymore. God will give you the power not to do it. That temperance, self-control, is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. He'll give you power. The blood of Jesus Christ not only has cleansed you from sin, but if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. I thank God for what the blood has done on my soul and in my life, and I thank God for what it does every day. That blood still stands as a witness, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So I'm about as tanked up with chocolate and calories and everything as I can get today, because I've been partaking of this richness. Paul's prayer for the churches, and that includes our church. Thank God somebody prayed for me. Father, thank You for this word. Thank You for the opportunity to represent Jesus today. And I pray, Lord, today that You would help us to be encouraged. Your word comes to encourage us and lift us up today. And I bless You, Lord, for that. I bless You for Your people. I bless You for that soul who... who needs a touch today, who needs to be filled with your spirit today, who needs a blessing, a second blessing, who needs to be encouraged today. I pray, Lord, that you would lift the burden today. Fill us with all the fullness of God. Help our love to abound more and more. Help us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching session using scriptures from the books of Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. The title has been Paul's Prayer for the Churches. Be assured that more than Paul, even our Lord Jesus Christ and many Christians are praying for you right now. Wherever you are, make sure that you open your heart. Receive Jesus Christ as Savior and make Him your Lord today. This has been a production of Tony Broom Ministries.